finances. Where do you go from there? You have to sing a little bit. Want to start with the bracha? Birkat Kohanim. I'm not able to really do these days. But at least we'll do it over here right now. In this hizdamnut, I also want to thank my wonderful, beautiful chevra from shul, our mishpacha, Shirat David. Can't imagine going through this without my chevra here. I guess, you know, we're in the middle of building the shul. This is the real building of the shul. This song was written by David from Shirat David. David Abramson, Harpo, formerly from Rebbe Lesheva. I learned this song when I was about 15 years old, and what a reshimo it's had on me ever since. And our shul is in memory of the person that wrote it. Hashem pana v'lecha v'chuneka Yisa Hashem pana elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'yechuneka Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yasem lecha v'yasem lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. So this is not another this is not an ordinary Shabbos Shuvah drasha, because Shabbos Agadol drasha, because of many reasons, but I don't remember ever playing a guitar at a Shabbos Agadol drasha. So while I was really taking my time to try to discover and figure out what, you know, what I'm really feeling and what I want to share, obviously my mind was jumping around to so many different places. It was very hard to keep quiet. But then I remembered this old Vishnitzer Nigun that you all know. We sing on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Many of us grew up on this Vishnitzer Nigun. It's a beautiful, beautiful Nigun. And this is actually what I wanted to talk about. I realized this is actually what I wanted to talk about tonight. The Nevuah from Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Ko amar, השם זכרתי לך חסד נעוריי אהבה כלולותיי אהבס כלולי סעיי כה אמר כה אמר השם זכרתי לך חסד נעוריי אהבס כלולי סעיי אהבס כלולי סעיי וילכתך אחריי במדבר בארץ לא יזדוע לכתך אחריי במדבר בארץ לא יזדוע לכתך אחריי במדבר בארץ לא יזדוע לכתך אחריי במדבר בארץ לא יזדוע
Sing with me wherever you are, friends. You can turn on the camera or just to keep it off, but as long as you're singing.
Koyama Koyama Hashem Zacharti Lach Hesed Nehudai kelulai sayi ava kelulai sayi dai 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 bam 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 dai 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 di dai 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 we left a khalai ba me ba me that lies at Usually, there are only two times a year that I do a shiur with a bunch of Mara Mekomot, with a bunch of sources. We're trying to build up something based on the halacha, build it up and see how it weaves its way through all of the oral Torah, and come out at the end with something, you know, some kind of like a mahalach, some kind of point. And usually that's been the case, definitely, with Shabbat HaGadol and Shabbat Shuvah. In the last few years, Shabbat HaGadol, we've had some very special moments of delving deep, because the world of Torah, when it comes to Pesach, comes to the Haggadah, knows no end. I can't this year. I can't pretend that I can do that. Maybe I could if I really tried. Maybe I could if I wanted to. But I don't think you want that either. And I'm like this last nigun. Tonight is about questions that we can't afford to not ask. And that's how we titled this shiur as well. We titled this shiur, The Questions That We Can't Afford Not to Ask. Questions that we pashut me'od have to ask by now. Because where we're at in life right now, what you and I are going through, is something that definitely, like we learned earlier this week in a shiur from Rav Kluger, in the last 100 years, no one's gone through this. So, there are questions that we have to figure out tonight, how to yank it out from inside. Because everything has changed anyway, so we might as well see where we're at with all these changes. And I have really only one thing to learn, to really learn with all of you, and it's one Mishnah. It's only one Mishnah. And it's a Mishnah in Masechet Chagiga, Perek Bet, Mishnah Aleph, which you'll see in a second. But as you see in front of you, it's all about figuring out what are the questions we are asking this year, and also what aren't the questions we're asking this year. And I want to try to explain. Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, who's just... What a schut we have to be in his generation. He quite often opens up his shiurim with, I've heard this a number of times, speaking about a Nobel Prize winner. It was a person named Isidore Rabi. And he was he won the Nobel Prize in 1944 for physics. Nobel Prize. And they asked him, like, in one of his interviews after he received the Nobel Prize, they said, what's the secret of your success? How did you become who you became? So he said that whenever he came home from school, his mother didn't ask him, did you do good today? His mother always asked him, did you ask any good questions today? That was the framework of this kid's chinuch, born in 1898. And as you see, 46 years later, he wins the Nobel Prize in physics because his mother, by her, what was important? Where are you with your questions? How in touch are you with your questions? What kind of questions are you asking? Well, the Mishnah that you have in front of you tells us, it's the middle of the Mishnah, because the beginning of this Mishnah speaks about Masa Bereishit and other different sugiyot, other different topics that you shouldn't learn on your own. How many people do you need to be with in order to learn certain topics? But then the Mishnah says the following thing, and I want us to really, this is the only Hebrew text you have in front of you tonight, but it's so important. The Mishnah says like this, Kol ha-mistakel be-arba'a dvarim ra'ui lo ki'ilu lo ba la'olam. If you look into these four things, it would have been better if you did not even come into this world. Now, before we go forward, there are tons of ways to darshan this out, to learn out what this Mishnah is saying over here. What does that mean? We're just going to go with a certain pshat, and I want to just repeat what I'm saying. This is a certain pshat. This is not the way that everyone learns it out, but it's the way that we're going to learn it out for tonight, for our own shiur, Bezrat Hashem. Whoever looks into these four things, Atomeret, whoever asks these four questions, it's better if you didn't show up here in the first place. Ma lemala, ma lemata, ma lifnim, uma leachor. That does not mean anyone that asks what's up in Shamayim, or what's beneath the earth, or what was before me, or what's after me, that's not what we're speaking about. We're talking about the questions that have no answers in this world. questions that for human hasaga, human grasping, it's absolutely impossible. Mala mala, how do things work? Why do things work up there the way they do? Why and how do things work the way they do down here? Malifnim, why did you do, Hashem, what you did before? And why are you going to do what's coming up as well? Malifnim alachor, what's in front of us and what's behind us? The questions of Ribono Shleilam, I want to crack the code. The Mishnah says, you look into these four things, and that's what you're spending your time in this world? It's chaval. Because you're treading down a path that has no end. And sometimes you could say, well, the journey is fun enough, but this journey is rocky. This journey, when you ask questions, like right now, that many of us have, specifically our friends that are in America right now, who we here in Eretz Yisrael send so much love to all of you. I have, you know, my family that's there. Each of us has family there, friends, loved ones. En milim afilo. And Hashem should protect all of you. Hashem should protect everyone, Jews, non-Jews. Hashem should protect all of us here in Eretz Yisrael, Bezrat Hashem, Barach. The numbers should stay as low as they are, not rise. But that question that I allowed myself to have a 20-second philosophical conversation this week. I usually never do. But somehow with one of the text messages, things got out of hand and we went into philosophy for about 20 seconds. And a person said to me, he said, you know, if I still believe in God after the Holocaust, then what's this? Then maze, zekatan aleinu, right? Then what's this whole inyan? The conversation stopped there. But what the Mishnah, the way we understand it over here, is that if this is what you're busy trying to figure out in this world while you're here, you're missing the point. Those are not the questions that you should be spending your time in this world. Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. If Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't up for it, be okay that it's not your gig either. So a person has to ask himself, so what questions should I be asking myself? Specifically, I should have been asking these questions years ago. But due to where we're at today, what questions can I not afford to ask? Now, the bottom of this Mishnah is something that we're going to get back to at the end, but I wanted to put it over here. V'chol shelo chas al kvod kono, ra'ui lo shelo ba la'olam. It's another thing, another ra'ui, another, it's as if, or it's better. Ra'ui lo shelo ba'olam, it's better if you didn't come into this world, if you're not a person that's looking to spare kavod shamayim, to be able to be one that holds up the flag of kavod of Hashem in this world. So we'll explain that at the end, but I want to repeat again what we learned. The first one, ra'ui lo ki'ilu lo ba la'olam, it's as if you didn't, it's ra'ui lo ki'ilu lo ba la'olam, if this is what you spent your life in this world to do, to deal with questions that are going to get you nowhere, what Reb Nachman was very much warning us about, certain questions you can ask. However, there's only a danger zone the more you ask them. But the other one is Kavod Hashem something that you A, think about, or B, understand? And that is something that we're going to get to Bezrat Hashem later on. So, you could pull off this text. Thank you. And a big yashar koach to my dear Chaver Shimon, who's helping me day and night, working with us day and night to provide us with everything that we need for this learning. Well, in the 1970s, there was a book written by Rav Meir Kahana called Uncomfortable Questions for Comfortable Jews. I don't know how many of you read it. That was more, the uncomfortable questions were the ones that, you know, definitely regarding assimilation, regarding being in Galut, not being in Eretz Yisrael, those types of questions, which would try to make comfortable Jews uncomfortable. I have definitely an agenda here. It's for myself too. I wanted to make us all uncomfortable, but not really in that way. Not in that derech. I want to make us comfortably uncomfortable, if that makes any sense. I want us to think about something very specific this evening. And that is, when you dig deep and try to understand what are the questions I should be asking myself, I should have been asking myself for a while, you can come to many conclusions, but I want us to go shlav by shlav. This is not going to be a very long one, because I know that there are a lot of things going on tonight, and I know everyone wants to catch as much Torah as they can. We'll try to stick be'emet to end by 9:30, maybe even before, but I just want to be as clear as possible. In order to understand what in the world we are supposed to be doing right now, and being okay with being uncomfortable about it, and not knowing necessarily what the answer is, and that's totally cool, I want us to go to Kabbalat HaTorah. I want us to be reminded of something that I feel, even though it's not Shavuos now, it's Pesach, but every single moment is a reenactment of Kabbalat HaTorah. And the truth is, we're between the Geula of Purim, which was a reenactment of Kabbalat HaTorah, and we're going out to Pesach. And when it comes to Kabbalat HaTorah, there's a very famous question that everyone asks. Why is it that the Parsha, where we receive our love letter from Hashem, the Ten Commandments, where we receive the Torah, is named after someone who was the biggest Oved Avodah Zarah that ever existed? How could that be? How could it be? Pesach is Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. And we've heard many, 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 many answers over the years. But the one answer that I want to focus on tonight, I believe, is our answer as well. Many people are talking about what it's going to be like when the virus is over, and how much they can't wait to get back to fill in the blank, whatever it is. From the most beautiful things to the most mundane things, but they just can't wait to get back to what it is. Keep that in mind. There was a Torah Reb Shlomo used to say in the name of the Ishbitzer, and it's brought down in a lot of the Sfarim, that the Torah, the Parsha in the Torah is named, that we receive the Torah, is named after Yitro, because of a very, very deep reason, which is very simple, actually. There are two types of people in the world. People that are touched by what goes on in the world, and people that are not touched. People that change, that grow, that internalize, that transform themselves due to what's happening in the world. And there are those that it doesn't matter what happens in the world, this is them. Zeloyazo. Nothing will help. This is who they are. And this is who they think they're supposed to remain and they're supposed to be. What's happening to us right now is becoming clearer and clearer to you and I, Bezrat Hashem. We can't wait to go back. I don't want to go back to anything that was. I don't want to go back to any level of observance that was before. I don't want to go back to the way that I interacted with my family, both extended and my home unit, the same way. When it comes to learning, Sdarim, Dafyom, you name it, davening in a minyan, can I ever imagine going back to davening a minyan the way that I used to? Could I ever imagine what it was to bring in Shabbat? Do I want to go back? What do I want to go back to? But that's not really the question. The question is, do you think the Ribono Shel Olam is putting you through all this just so that you can get back to the way things were? And what does it mean? How do I figure out? How do I find out what it means to listen to the change, to the transformation, to what's happening? We are living, it's up to us. We're living either in the most incredible time in the world, or what will end up being the biggest fisfus that we ever had in our lifetime. Fisfus means missing out on the point. Yitro, was the biggest Oved Avodah Zarah. But you know what happened to Yitro? Rashi tells us he heard about Milchemet Amalek and he heard about Kriyat Yamsuf. He heard about Am Yisrael, people that were slaves for hundreds of years and probably have very low self-esteem, probably had horrible thoughts about themselves and zero self-confidence. And what ended up happening? This people, a few days after they leave slavery, are free enough to jump into water with their emunah. But then he also heard about Amalek, people that hear about big things happening in the world. They heard about Am Yisrael and their miracles. Nothing changes. They're the same. We're the same. Al titlev yotel midai. Don't get too excited about life. Don't get too excited about life. And he had to ask himself a question. He had to ask himself, what people, which group of people do I want to belong to? Do I want to belong to those that are stuck in their ways, even if their ways are proper and healthy, even if they're holy, but I'm stuck to it? Or do I want to be part of people who are open to change, who are open to understanding that the Ribono Shel Olam is mechadesh betuvo bechol yom tamid, that there's renewal happening all the time? And Yitro said, that's what I want to be part of. So Hashem Yisbarach says, Yitro, you who tasted every dark side of the world, everything wrong, but eventually decided to be part of people that change, you understand what learning Torah and living Torah is all about. It's about being in tune with the Ratzon HaElyon, being in tune with the higher will. And friends, right now, there's a new nigun playing in the world. There's a new nigun. We don't really know exactly. We don't have the music sheet of it. We don't have the chart. We don't have the chords written out. There's like all these scattered notes all over the place that we're kind of trying to pick up. So the old us says, I'm just going to stick to my old nigun. That's what worked for my bubby. That's what's going to work for me. And there's something holy about that. But if you ignore the nigun of today, what's coming down today, then basically, you're not on Yitro's team. You're not open to being touched and moved by what's going on in the world. Because it cannot be that on a personal level, but also on a national level, on a religious level, on a Jewish level, it cannot be anymore that the places that we call houses of worship, both shuls and homes, can function in the same way. It just can't. Now, sticking with Har Sinai for a second, there's another very, very important one-liner that happened when we got to Har Sinai. Har Sinai, it says, Bayom hazeh ba'u midbar Sinai. And I heard earlier this week from my Rebbe, Hashem should give him arichut yamim, strength, and all the surrounding with all the love that exists, Rav Moshe Weinberger, who we miss so much right now. He brought down a piece from the Noam Elimelech, from Rebbe Elimelech of Lizhansk. It's a few words. The Noam Elimelech says that Bayom hazeh ba'u midbar Sinai. When you come to receive the Torah, it's all in these words. Bayom hazeh ba'u midbar Sinai. On this day, where did they came? To midbar Sinai. The Noam HaLimelech says that midbar is a remez for hitbodedut. Why? Because midbar comes from the word medaber. Bayom hazeh ba'u midbar Sinai. This is where they came from. This is where they came to. They came to a place of needing to do hitbodedut. There's no way out of it. We go back to it every single shir. They came to a place called hitbodedut. Bayom hazeh ba'u midbar Sinai. Normally, Melech says midbar remez lihitbodedut gadol. Sha'atzadik mitbodet be'atzmo u'medabek et atzmo bo yitbarach. So I want to say like this. And I'm saying this with so much love and zero, Zero, zero judgment. Chas v'chalila. I feel very strongly that when we go get through this tkufa, it'll be something that Reb Nosson of Breslov said 200 years ago, not 200, 170 years ago, is going to be pretty clear. Something that he said is going to be very, very clear. What did Reb Nosson say? Reb Nosson told his Hasidim that there's going to be a time that people are going to hear about an era in Judaism when there wasn't Hizbodidus, that Hizbodidus wasn't a given, and people are going to crack up and they're not going to believe it at all. It's almost like, we'll look back. It's like us now wondering about a time that used to be where Shabbos didn't have Kabbalat Shabbat. So what was their Shabbos, right? Reb Nosson said to his Hasidim a long time ago, he said, there's going to be a time that people in the future, people are going to be in shock, that Jews felt that they could actually get by without having a personal conversation with Hashem. And when I say personal conversation with Hashem, and when I'm quoting Reb Nosson, we're not talking about Shacharit, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. That's a given. And we're not talking about moments of, Hashem, please help me. A conversation. Someone asked me, someone so dear to my heart, asked me today, they said, look, I guess I'm trying to get in touch with my neshama. Just tell me, like, how do I even start? I told them in a second. They said, well, it's very, 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 the answer is very easy. You have to develop a relationship. You have to tell God a story. You have to be in contact with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to start speaking your own language to Hashem. Because when I speak my own language to Hashem, you know what ends up happening? I begin to understand myself. People always think that Hizbodidus is about this back and forth conversation, that if I don't hear anything back right away, it means it's not working. It's not what we're talking about. Reb Nachman says a person has to be mefaresh sichato. You have to explain, you have to give a perush to your sicha, to Hashem. What ends up happening? You start hearing yourself. The Noam Elimelech, to come back to the Kabbalah, the Torah, he says, you know what it means to come to the Torah? Bayom hazeh bao midbar Sinai. You receive the Torah, this is the second level we're learning. You receive the Torah when you've developed enough self-confidence to begin the conversation without any expectations other than to be in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe until today, it was enough to know that I'm doing Ratzon Hashem by learning His Word, only by learning His Word, and by being a person that observes the Halacha. But don't wait for the Rabbanut HaReshit or the Convention of Rabbis in America to paskin that Hizbodidus became a Chiyuv. Because probably what will happen then is that if it becomes a Chiyuv, you definitely won't do it. This is the era. This is the era we're living in. Because to know what you're about, to know what Hashem, to be in tune with today, to ask the questions we need to ask today, is impossible unless you've learned how to listen to yourself and to understand yourself. How do you understand yourself? So usually it's through Hizbodidut. And on that note, I have to share with you something that happened today that changed my life for real. And I don't use that concept lightly. I really don't. I don't say those words. It changed my life so easily. This really did change my life. One of the things I love most about life is actually just knowing a lot of people. Yeah, sometimes it has its it has its difficult moments, but then there are moments where you're so thankful that you know people. In today's day and age, we always say, you know, you and I are more in touch in one day with more people that our grandparents and great-grandparents were in touch with in maybe a lifetime. It's really, really crazy. This is what the Ratzon Hashem is today. So, I received a voice note today that I transcribed. I never did this before. Usually you transcribe a shiur. I received a 3-minute voice note today that I actually had to write down, and I myself had to look at it. I received it from someone who's working so hard on trying to listen. On trying to listen to what's going on in the world and to try to listen inside so that they can know what are the questions they're supposed to be asking today. I received a note from someone I haven't even checked if they're with me over here right now online. It doesn't necessarily matter. I obviously won't be mentioning the name or alluding to them in any way, shape, or form. But it's someone that I know wants so badly for the sake of their family to be in tune with today. Someone that definitely, definitely, definitely does not want to be asking the wrong questions. The questions that lead you nowhere. It's someone that wants to ask the questions that lead you exactly to the place that we're going to tonight. So I'm going to read for you very carefully what this person said to me today. Rav Shlomo, you asked us online in a shiur earlier in the week, the Rav Kook shiur on anxiety. You asked us in the name of Rav Dov Zinger to write down what our fears are so that we can understand them better and go through them better. I haven't been able to write them, but I will speak them out instead. I'm not afraid of Corona. Maybe it's just simple emuna and Hashem that I know it'll be okay. I'm not afraid for my family. That's not my fear at all. My fear is losing the person that I am today. My fear is losing the person that I have become. The person I was in the past was a different person of today. I've worked so hard on myself and my Yetzer Hara in a lot of areas which I know were holding me back. And today my fear is losing that exact win. I'm afraid that of all the gains which I've gained, that all the strength that I've had in terms of taking on certain things, all types of things, holy things, that all of that, all that koach will be lost. I had a group of people that I could do these holy things with. But it's so challenging and impossible in our times, in our current setting, to do that. In general, this person says to me, I have a lot of trouble in terms of building friendships and maintaining them. In the past, there were a lot of people that I was friends with for a certain period of time, but eventually it faded. Not because there was an argument or a fight, it just went away. And what I'm feeling now is that all the togetherness we've accumulated has been taken away. I don't know how to tap into it through Zoom. I'm not feeling it through Zoom. I'm having so much trouble. I'm still listening, but I'm so afraid that I'm becoming just me again. The things I have become accustomed to, or the things that I was looking forward to, those things that could always put me back in my zone and bring me back, today they're not here. And I feel that this connection to other people is just slipping away, and that is my fear. I fear that not being with people, that not being able to sit with someone, is a tremendous, tremendous loss. That's my fear. Losing exactly this. I'm not sure that saying all this is bringing some kind of solution, but it brings me to an awareness about where I am. I answered this person a few hours later after trying to find the words to explain to them how much this message cracked my heart wide open. cracked my heart wide open. If anyone wants to understand how do you begin Hisbodedus, they should read this letter. Yes, these words were addressed to me, but this is how you start to understand what's going on in the world. This is why you start to understand the questions that need to be asked this year. Because when a person asks themselves these questions, they don't go back to who they were. That's the last thing in the world they would want to. He's not saying over here, I want to go back to all this. He's saying, this is the reality, is that I don't have this now. And my fear may be that I don't know another way. I don't know another way. I know of a way that worked for me and was holy. But Hashem took that away from me. Let's go back to the beginning of Shir. Ko amar Hashem, zacharti lach chesed ne'urayich. Yirmiyahu Hanavi says, in the name of God, I remembered your chesed of your ne'urim. I remember the love, the kindness, when you were just a young people. Ahavas kelulay sayich, the love when you were just a kala. What does Hashem remember? And listen to these words, because these words are where you and I are right now. Lechtech acharai b'amidbar. I told you, come after me in the desert. Where? Be'eretz lo zeruah. Lechtech acharai b'amidbar. Am Yisrael, Hashem has told us, from back then, this is Pesach. Lechtech achrei b'midbar be'eretz lo zerua. Back then you had to follow me, you had to go out of your comfort zone. You had to go to a land that wasn't zerua, it wasn't planted. There was nothing there. But the only way I could reveal myself to you, Hashem was telling us, is if you trust me enough to just go to that place that's outside of your comfort zone. Eretz lo zerua. Because whenever you do that in the future, I'm going to have to pull you out of all these situations, taking you out of your comfort zone, taking out of your norm, taking you out of what you're accustomed to. Because maybe all the beautiful things that you've become accustomed to, they may be holy, but they may still be Mitzrayim. They may still be narrow. Maybe the way that you relate to Minyan, maybe the way that you relate to Shabbos, maybe the way you relate to me, Hashem says, is a box. It may be a holy box, but it's still a box. So just like back then, I took you out to the desert, Be'eretz lo zerua, and you followed me in this land, in this world that wasn't prepared. All you did was follow me, Be'eretz lo zerua. You and I, friends, this is a midbar. Every day the halachas are not changing, but they're being configured differently. They're sifting through the times. This is an Eretz lo zerua. But if we are so keen on, I have to hold on to what I had, or I got to make sure that I go back to what was when this is over. Ma hirvachnu. What did we get from this? What did we get from this? What's the whole point of the whole thing? If freedom is on the plate right now, if that's what this is now, the tasting of freedom this year has to be to become free to ask questions that in the past we may have been too petrified to ask. Questions that in the past we never wouldn't have even thought of asking. Which is what we're trying to figure out tonight. This is the freedom which can lead you today to be okay with being in Eretz lo zeruah, to go out to the desert and live with the words of the Navi Yirmiyahu, Lechtech acharei b'midbar be'eretz lo zeruah. Pesach night's all about questions. And every year, you know, the Beditcher Rebbe said, Ribono Shleilem, you think I have 4 kashyas? I have 4 million kashyas. I'm not going to start with my kashyas, with my hard questions on you. Those are the questions the Mishnah in Chagiga said. That's not the questions we're talking about. I don't want questions on you. I want questions on me, in me. That's what I want. Please, Shimon, pull up the next page. I saw a fascinating teaching by one of our greatest teachers, Rav Yitzchak Ginzburg. If you look at the top right, there are four children. There is Chacham, there is Rasha, there's Tam, and there's Vesheino Yoda Lishol. Now, all the Kabbalists, all the mystical books, they have built binyanim of depth, buildings of wisdom based on the four questions and the four children, meaning the four sons. Obviously, the number four keeps on coming up throughout the Haggadah and throughout our tradition. But what's beautiful over here is that Rav Ginzburg says, look at the first letter of each of the children, Chet, Reish, Taf, and Vav. You take those letters and mix them around. What does it spell out? Chirut, freedom. The point of Leil HaSeder is to tune in to the child in you. That's each of us is a little bit of a Chacham. Each of us is a little bit of a Rasha. Each of us is a little bit of a Tam. And each of us is a little V'sheino Yoda Lishol. But if I'm free enough, if I have enough strength to go to the places and ask the questions I normally don't want to ask, I'll go over here. And I'll get to Chirut Olam, through the four children. Reb Shlomo Kalbach, and we're going to end with this, he put everything we said together in such a beautiful way. He said there's a time for everything. There's a time for luxury, and then there's a time where I simply don't want anything which I don't need. There's a time when I would love for 100 people to be in my home. The more the better. But then there's a time where I just want to be alone with my family. It's amazing how now these two lines are like exactly it. Those moments we're having with our family, with our immediate family, I wouldn't want anyone else to be part of it. Of course I love and I miss everyone. And also when I'm cleaning for Pesach and I'm cleaning my house, I'm ridding myself of things that just take up space. No need for them anymore. So Reb Shlomo continues and he says, what's chametz all about? Chametz is disturbing. It's something that's blown up. It's not real. And on Pesach, I don't need it. I just need water and flour. That's what chametz is, right? It's blown up. And the Sfarim chametz always alludes to gaiva, something that's not really its natural state. It's puffed up. I just need flour and water, right? Everything which doesn't belong, I don't want it. It only disturbs. Zot omeret. Usually I could say, whatever. I don't need this right now, but I'll keep it on the side. On Pesach, I'm out of that. That's just a trap for becoming a spiritual, not just a spiritual hoarder, but a hoarding is a very, very difficult thing to deal with. I'm done with it. We're in an era where all we want is exactly what we need. Especially today. Chametz resembles something being blown up. Not really what I need. I have flour. Sorry, he says over here, everything which doesn't belong, I don't want. It only disturbs. I have flour and water. Why do I need to have the dough to rise and pretend it's more than it is? Why do I need those relationships in my life? That it makes me feel cool that I know this person, but really, having them in my life, it doesn't really do anything. It's something blown up. Why do I have to walk around with that sefer? Because it shows that I'm holding there. I don't want anything that's not matzah. That's not just exactly what it is. Anything blown up, I just don't want. I don't need it. You know why? Because it disturbs. It gets in the way. I don't want less. I don't want more. I just want the thing the way it is. Gevalt, does matzah cure my heart? It's so curing to the heart. When Pesach comes, I ask God questions which I never ask all year long. Not chametz questions, but matzah questions. We're afraid to ask ourselves the deepest question. For some reason, my own mind, my own heart, and my own soul, they don't let me ask the deepest questions in the world. Hang up a sign, don't disturb. Don't disturb? Reb Shlomo says, because if I would really ask myself, what are you really doing here? If I'd ask myself, what am I really doing here? I wouldn't know what to answer and I'd be embarrassed. On Seder night, I am free enough to ask myself, what am I doing here? Now, Chevra, from Maya to Yerad, I'm really asking you all something lemaisa right now. The question, what am I doing here? What am I really doing here? Is not what am I good at. That's not the question. I could be good at a lot of things, but that's not necessarily why I'm here. Did you ever stop and ask yourself, Ribono Shleilam, what did you have in mind when you thought about creating me? What did you have in mind? Did you ever ask yourself, I want to think about, what did you have in mind when you created the world? What did you have in mind when you created parents and children? What did you have in mind when you created a concept called shul? And just think about it. But the deepest question really is, what did you have in mind when you thought of putting me in this world and me having to go through everything I have to go through? You see, these are questions that can't be asked if we're all together all the time. These are questions that can't be asked in shul, in a minyan, at a big concert. And frankly, friends, let's be matzah, let's be real. It's beautiful. We're all together here. It's not going to happen now either on the Zoom, on Facebook. It can only happen when there's no one else. Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. It can only happen there. That's the only place where you can begin to ask these questions. The questions that you don't ask all year long, but the questions you're free enough, you have enough chirut to ask yourselves. Leil Seder. In the beginning of this shiur, Shem, can you pull up, please, the first page again? I told you we're going to get back to it at the end, right? Look at the last line. V'chol shelo chas al kvod kono, ra'ui lo shelo ba la'olam. Everyone thinks that means that being someone that stands up for the kavod of Hashem means telling people that aren't keeping Torah that they're wrong. People may think that standing up for kavod haTorah means that if something doesn't sound right to you, in the name of Hashem, I'm a warrior. But I really believe that this paradigm shift we're going through is a redefinition of what it means, lachus al kvod Hashem. What it means to stand up in the name of God. Standing up in the name of God is asking the question, God, what did you think of me when you created me? What are your dreams for me? What did you think? And forgetting for a second about all our accomplishments or our failures. Those are either right or wrong, but they're definitely irrelevant to the moment. The questions we ask ourselves in Seder, the questions we ask ourselves today, while hundreds of people are dying every single day, and those of us that are here, Be'ezer Hashem, should be healthy and be spared. It can't be that I could go about my life without becoming a spiritually aware person. It just doesn't work anymore. It's not for Yechidim. Hispodedus may have been for certain people until now. But developing a relationship with God, as simple as that is, and I don't, God forbid, mean for one second to stop learning the Word of God. On the contrary, the more you learn the Word of God, the more your conversation with God becomes so much more meaningful. Friends, we're all in the Eretz Lo Zeruah. I have a friend that called me a few months ago and told me he's freaking out because he realizes that he has no idea what he's doing at home, how he's raising his teenagers. He doesn't know what to do. I said to him, brother, why are you under the assumption that you're supposed to know how to do something that you never did before? We live under these assumptions that we're supposed to know how to do all these things when we're put into situations for the first time. Do you think there's a way for you to know, lechatchila, how to act now? You think the Gadol Rav Herschel Schachter also knew exactly how to answer all the shailas as they were coming in? Well, he's that much of a genius, so it's on the tip of his tongue, but he also had to learn today's Torah and give today's tshuvas. How can you think that our God expects us to know how to do and act and live in Eretz Lo Zeruah unless we ask him and say, can you give me some pointers? That's all it is. Ribbono Shel Olam, I really don't know what to do with this kli called Shlomo, that you put this neshama in this vessel called Shlomo. I get hints here and there. There's some things I'm really good at. There's some things I've noticed that I'm really not good at. But it's got to be deeper than that. What did you have in mind when you put me to this world? So you know, the nevuah that we sang before, Ko Amar Hashem Zachayti L'Chesed Nu'Raich, the pasuk begins a little bit before that. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu Navi, Haloch Vekarata Be'oznei Yerushalayim. And I've been thinking about those two words all day long today. Oznei Yerushalayim. You gotta go and scream out to the ears of Yerushalayim that it's okay to not know how to walk in the desert. I'm leading the way, Hashem Yisbarach says. I'm leading it. So this is a song that I wanted to end with that is very much shayach to everything we said right now. Because the amazing part of this whole journey is that everything that we discussed tonight can also, or should also, be asked besimcha. Instead of saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, what did you think of when you thought of creating me? It's more like, Ribbono Shel Olam, I would love to know. I would love to know. What is it you had in your mind, kivyachol, when you had this idea of me popping into the world? Chevre, just ask that. Azvut akol. Just ask that. Not what do you need me exactly to do. It's much deeper than that. So the song I want to sing with you, which we'll end tonight with, and lead us into this Shabbos HaGadol. It's a Shabbos of Lo Zeruah. It's a Shabbos of, I don't really know. But it's a Shabbos of an opportunity, Lachus al Kvot Kono, to ask the right questions. Mi ani umani befo efo ani mi ani umani. Mi ata umani. now I'm inviting us all to sing the same song with a smile. Try it. Me, ani, uma. Hashem makes no mistakes. He didn't make any mistake with creating us the way we are. He didn't make any mistake sending us to the families that we've been sent to and the children that He trusts us with. But you just gotta ask me, Ata. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Thank you, everyone. Good Shabbos, so much love. We're winning. We are winning.